Chapter 13, the second of a series of messages on Matthew 13 and the kingdom parables. And this is the second introductory message, really, so I'd like to ask you to read with me. You read silently as I read aloud the first three verses of Matthew 13, and then verses 10 through 13. Verses 1 through 3 and verses 10 through 13 for our scripture reading today. The same day. Now that immediately leads me to say that I could wish that everybody present here today had been here last Sunday, because we explored what happened that same day. And you'll never understand this chapter until you understand that background. And it's especially recorded in chapter 12, but it covers, leading up to it, chapters 10, 11, and 12. And we explored that last Sunday. And that is absolutely indispensable to the understanding of this chapter. It's not possible to understand this chapter without understanding that background. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now let me spiritualize a moment. Out of the house is a picture of his withdrawal from Israel. To sit by the seaside is a picture of his turning to the Gentile nations. If you'll read the prophetic books carefully, Daniel, Revelation, the prophets of the Old Testament, you'll find that the ocean or the sea is often pictured as a picture, used as a picture of the nations of the world. And the Holy Spirit does not simply register things to say things. He says them to say other things as well. The same day, the day when the Jews in leadership officially rejected Jesus and got together a council, a conference, to choose to kill him, he went out of the house, out of the house of Israel, and turned to the Gentiles. Now that's only a typical picture of his withdrawal from Israel and his introduction of the times of the Gentiles, and that's what this chapter is basically about. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Now skip down to verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now that is an exceedingly strange explanation, if what we have always been told about the parables is the only truth. That they are given to reveal the truth. Jesus said the parables are given to divide men. Unto those who have shown a perception of spiritual truth, it is given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to the others who do not show that perception, those parables are given to hide the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, listen to verse 12 very carefully and ask God to let you understand it. It's the most important principle in interpreting this age that there is in the Bible. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. He's talking about understanding. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Now please note that, not just to reveal, but also to conceal. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And then he quotes that great passage from Isaiah chapter 6. Now, let's read a couple more verses. Turn to verses 34 and 35. Verses 34 and 35. In order to get this fixed in our minds as to the purpose of parables. Verses 34 and 35. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying. Now that lets you know immediately that there's something awfully momentous in this chapter, because it is the beginning of a fulfillment of prophecy, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now that interprets basically this 13th chapter of Matthew. It concerns things which have been kept secret. They are known as mysteries from the foundation of the world. That means the natural, unaided mind will never understand this chapter. They'll see the stories, they'll hear the stories, and they'll do what interpreters usually do. They'll say the stories as their surface revealed, but those stories mean, in many cases, the exact opposite of what the surface reading discloses. Or else Jesus is absolutely inconsistent, and that's not the case. And I wish everybody here now could be here as we explore these so that we could see. Now, we laid the foundation last week by talking about the timing of this chapter. For four chapters, basically three, 10, 11, 12, and 13, 10, 11, and 12, the Jews have been fixing and fastening a direction in their response to Jesus Christ. When you come into chapter 12, after Jesus has spoken to them about what they called his Sabbath abuse, the Bible says they went away from him and held a solemn private conference to try to decide how they might put him to death. And Jesus Christ turned to them then and said, "I'm sorry, but you are finished. You have committed the unpardonable sin. You have seen me and attributed who I am and what I am doing to Satan himself. You said he is Beelzebub, and what he is doing is attributed to Beelzebub." And Jesus said, "That doesn't even make sense, because the devil would not cast out the devil. It would be a divided house, and the divided house cannot stand." And then they asked him for a sign. And he said, "No sign shall be given you except the sign of the prophet Jonah, who is 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. And even so, the Son of Man will be crucified and buried, remain in the grave a certain length of time, and will rise again." But now, that's not the key to what he was saying there. You see, the key to what he was saying there was found in what Jonah did when he got out of that whale. It plainly says he then went to the Gentiles. And Jesus was saying to them, "I am turning from you. I want you to know it. I am turning from you to introduce an entire new age in world history. I am introducing what will be called the times of the Gentiles. I am turning away from you because you have rejected truth. I am categorically denying you as a nation, as you have categorically denied me as the Messiah and the King. I am turning away from you, introducing an entirely new system." And when you turn into the book of Acts, you see the unfolding of this. Because you see, the opening chapters of the book of Acts are dominated by Simon Peter, who is the apostle to the Jews. But when you come to chapter 12, he completely disappears out of the record. He appears only one more time, and that just by a simple reference and no action, and he completely disappears out of the record. And in chapter 13, the ministry of the apostle to the Gentiles begins to predominate and take over. Plus, in chapter 7 of the book of Acts, you have the great watershed of Jewish history. Jesus said here that it was coming. You may as well look for it. When the Jews will have their last opportunity temporarily as a nation. And that was when Stephen, one of God's mighty vocalists, stood and preached that great sermon in Acts chapter 7. And when he finished, the Jewish leaders gnashed upon him, began to hurl stones at him. They took him out of the city and stoned him to death. And the times of the Jews as a nation was officially finished. And in chapters 8, 9, and 10, you then have a picture of God's economy in this age in which we live. In chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch comes to know Christ. He is a son of Ham. He is a colored man. In chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus, who is Semitic, a son of Shem, a Jew, comes to know Christ. In chapter 10, Cornelius, a Roman centurion who is a Japhethite, a son of Japheth, and a Gentile, a picture of you and me, come to know Christ. And this is what we see in this age. God is moving in all the nations of the world, whatever sort or nation or tribe or kind or language or people, and is drawing out for himself a people who will bear his name. Makes no difference whether they're sons of Ham, sons of Shem, sons of Japheth. In fact, did you know that we are being told now by those who know? Billy Graham himself made this statement about 3 months ago, that the new birth rate in the sons of Ham in Africa today is so accelerated that by the turn of the century, Africa will likely, by prediction, be more Christian than it is pagan. The new birth rate has accelerated above the birth rate in Africa
So you see, God is no respecter of